aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis. Yes, it's on the 720, the W, the G, and the N.
Favorite story of the day.
Yeah.
Florida Rob, who caught Chance the Snapper, the alligator, became an instant hero. Also picked up a Chicago girlfriend while he was here, turns out.
How you doing? Those, hey, those are for us. There's a lot of big-haired people down in Florida for you. Although I will say this about him. You know, you and I are hosting the Green Tie Ball.
Right.
He's going to be a special guest of honor at the Green Tie Ball.
Great.
Yes.
He is such a genuinely nice, gracious man.
He's also considering, and I don't know if this is, you know, like his Chicago girlfriend doesn't like the beard, but he's considering shaving his beard off.
Shaving it off. And apparently, not only Chance the Snapper is from Humboldt Park, she is too. Met her nearby. Took her to the Shedd Aquarium. Turns out he was gauging her interest in reptiles, and she was cool with it. Like, she liked the reptiles. So he said, this might be love.
I think he fell in love with Lauren Lapka. She's not here. Have you noticed? There's something going on here.
Maybe it is.
She's
Lauren.
A big, you know, she had a bearded dragon.
That's
she
right.
Had the, right. She's
she went to the reptile house.
Yes, loves reptiles.
First date at the reptile house in Orland Park.
Yeah.
I've been sworn to secrecy about her whereabouts. So, Kevin, you can chaperone that one.
Yeah.
Has she been posting on social media from Florida? Check it out. Let's check.
Wow, that could be something right there.
They've been on several dates, but he's not being, you know, he's keeping it, kind of on the cool because he's not sure, you know, you just, it's new. You don't want to mention exactly who
it is.
Don't
want to jinx it.
Put pressure on it, right? It's too soon. So,
right. Well, he met the girl in Humboldt Park, right? I want to just stop and think about that for a second. All right, I just need, there's some things I need to know. Tattoos, no tattoos. That's the first thing I need to know. He has tattoos, though, doesn't he?
He might, yeah.
Yeah, he does, yeah. So that would be good.
That.
So tat for tat, you know.
She likes reptiles.
Yeah.
He loves reptiles.
Right, I mean, but you know what happens, though? I have been down this road.
What road?
Where people pretend to love something that you love when
yeah,
you're
that's
dating,
true.
And
that
then
does
it turns
happen.
Out they don't really love it, and then you find out later. I don't love reptiles. When you've already bought a boa constrictor and they're like,
I'm not taking care of that.
Isn't he cute? Yeah, get this thing out of my house.
I love this show. You hate the show, but you watch the show
right.
with her.
I'm not watching it anymore.
Or it's more like a hobby, like golf. Yeah, I really like to golf. And then they really don't like to golf.
I have been taken on that so many times over the years. I've had one time where it actually worked out where the person liked to play golf. That was it. Everybody else, oh, yeah, sure, I play golf.
6 hour round later.
Liar.
Have you ever played before?
We're not doing 18 holes, are we?
What? You said you were a big golfer.
I thought we were going to the driving range.
Right.
I
was going to exactly. We're like right on the way to Bloomingdale's.
Right.
The Bloomingdale's
something
home
exciting.
Store. Yeah.
Something kind of exciting.
I wanted to pick out butter knives. Wait, what? Oh, come on.
Don't you share that interest?
Yes, on a 72 degree perfect blue sky Saturday.
Ro buys her $100 golf outfit. Hey, I got you some new gear for the round.
Yeah.
And she can't even make
it. Yeah, I can't. You know what?
No.
We need to go to Bloomingdale's for the butter knives.
Well, I bet in this case, come on. She's got to like reptiles or you wouldn't be involved with Rob. Because that's central to his being. So
yeah.
That's,
oh, yeah. You
got to
do that.
Well, this happened less than 2 months ago. How quickly do you put labels on relationships nowadays?
He says this might be love. And that's a quote. This might be love.
That's an interesting question, though. So you put a label on a relationship.
Mm-hmm. What's the label? You mean like girlfriend?
Yeah.
Girlfriend.
Is that, I mean.
Yeah, because you go from, I got a friend to, we've kind of been hanging around. We've gone out a few times.
He's flying back and forth from Florida to Chicago.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Well, he likes Chicago. And the man is.
Well, he's a celebrity.
An American hero here. I mean, he's like, I got to tell you something. If you did a Trump rally and an alligator Rob rally, the alligator Rob rally would have 15 times as many people. That's just because it's not a real, you know, it's not a big Trump town. That's all I'm saying. In the city,
build a statue of him.
Yeah, he does need
a
statue.
All the Chicago greats get a statue.
He does need a statue.
That is true.
At the lagoon.
Maybe we'll put one right up next to Peyton's statue that they're doing at Soldier Field. Is it too
Can't
soon
do
for that?
That? Yes.
Too soon?
Can't do that.
No?
No.
All right.
No.
Okay. All right. Maybe. All right. I went too far, didn't I?
So, yeah, but he is a hero, and he's already was at a celebrity golf tournament, so
I think
he came back for that.
CLTV, if I'm not mistaken, I think CLTV just ran a picture with him with a woman. Is that the... Is that the girlfriend?
Uh-oh. Do they have photographs?
We've tracked the woman down?
They just ran a shot of him with a woman, an attractive woman.
Show that again,
CLTV. I couldn't tell if it was tats or not tats on the arms.
Well, wait.
So I got to think it's a sleeve.
Wait, there's a picture.
Yeah.
Wow, very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
She doesn't look tatted.
Does not look tatted. No, that's an upset. That's, you know, I rarely get that wrong.
We don't know that. Who knows where she's
going? Well, right, I know. But I was thinking sleeves. I had this idea of sleeves. But no. Oh, this is great.
Well, girls in that Humboldt Park, Logan Square area like the hipster beard, so.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Exactly. And he does have the hipster bartender beard. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice thing, these two.
This is love.
I kind of like the way this looks, actually.
Maybe we'll get to meet her at the Green Tie Ball, since he's attending. He's going to bring her, right?
Snagged more than just an alligator, huh?
Yeah.
How about that?
Wow. You guys will get a part in the movie.
You know, he's a good-looking guy, too. He's a really interesting-looking guy. And the fact that he grabs alligators by the eyeballs and pulls them out of lakes, that kind of makes him a little bit of a, you know, sort of a,
kind of adventurous,
sort of a badass,
bad boy.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're like, all right.
But he's a good guy.
He's got something going on.
Right.
And he's the sweetest guy ever.
Isn't that?
Truly.
That's the first thing that strikes you when you meet him. He's just, like, humble. And just really like, hey, it's just, you're such an honor to be here and be part of this, and I'm loving Chicago.
All right, well, you know, it's a Chicago girl, so I got to sign off on this, though.
Well, what do you mean? How are you going to sign off on
it? I got to meet her. I got to say, is this, you know, I got to make sure
it's
okay.
What would you ask her? Like, what?
I got a lot of questions. I got a lot of questions.
Do you have any tattoos, number one?
What are your intentions, young lady? That's my first question.
You're with a Chicago hero. Can you handle that?
Yeah. You're never going to pay for dinner again, but you probably already know that, right?
Are you banking on that? Is that a part of your intentions?
Right. I just want to know what her intentions are. And maybe her intentions are completely pure and honest and good. And maybe she really does. And how much do you really love alligators?
Yeah, just kind of like have a snake and show up with it.
Yeah.
See if she'll hold it.
See her reaction.
Right. Komodo dragon.
I heard you love snakes. Yeah, a whole bunch of them.
Would you rather have a pit bull or a Komodo dragon? Because you know Humboldt Park, you have a pit bull, right? That's the official dog of Humboldt Park.
Pit bulls are great.
I love pit bulls.
I do too.
It's one of my favorite breeds.
Beautiful.
But you just got to know, got to know what you're working with, right there.
Mm-hmm.
So
very loyal dogs
can be.
Why does it have to be one or the other? Can't it be both? Can't you have a dog and a reptile?
No.
Well, I don't know. Is pit bull going to get along with a Komodo dragon, or the other way around? I don't know.
Lauren explained to us that the cat didn't get along with her Komodo dragon, remember?
Or bearded dragon.
Bearded.
Komodo dragon. Take you right out. Komodo dragon's like an actual dragon.
I myself am not a reptile lover, so yeah. I don't really know all the names of them. But
a Komodo dragon might have been larger than Lauren at that point.
Yeah, Komodo dragon's big, big-ass thing.
You wouldn't want to have one just kind of walking around your house.
No. And when it bites you, it's a poison that kills you over 10 years.
Oh,
it's sort of like it's like getting a deadly disease, and you're like, and your doctor's like, I don't know, you got about a 10% chance of making it for the next 5 years.
What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They got it. It's like a, it creates an infection that is almost impossible to treat.
Oh.
Dear God.
Yeah. So I just asking. So I just want to know if she knows that about the Komodo dragon.
Wow.
I just want to know. Again, I'm just testing her intentions.
We're gonna get like a reptile quiz together.
Like Diner. Uh-huh. She got to know everything about the 1959 Baltimore Colts. All right. Hold on one second, because we have got our dear friend Ben Bradley standing by the WGN TV newsroom.
Yeah.
He just bristled at the thought that I called him a friend. All right, let's do that. But first, we'll talk to Kim about what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
The Cook County State's Attorney's Office announcing a plan today to expunging tens of thousands of drug convictions.
All right, Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom.
Hello, Ro.
Hello, Ben.
And team.
Hi, Ben.
Nice to be with you. Another day where Anna does not respond to one of my emails.
Well, I read it.
Okay, that's half the battle.
I did read it.
Yeah. That's okay.
How am I supposed to respond? Brilliant story,
no,
Ben.
No.
I mean, what is it we're looking for? Do you want
praise?
He doesn't care about me. I didn't even read this damn
thing. Ro has never responded.
Ro never reads them, and you never give him a hard time.
And both of your email silence is better than our 4 p.m. producer, Danielle, who when I sent her like the 12th story idea of the day, I tend to inundate her.
Uh-huh.
I just responded with, go get me a milkshake.
I saw that too.
Yes.
You know what I would like? You know what I'd like from you, Ben? When you send what Ben does is he goes, I'm working on this great story, and he sends us the script for the story.
Which is great. Which I like that.
I just would prefer a two-line elevator pitch on the story, because it's like every detail.
You don't have time for that,
right? It's got, and then the he's got, thing? And then it's got all the sound on tape transcribed, yeah. and then the visual effects.
And they say it's millennials that are difficult.
Right. I mean, all I need is like I need an elevator pitch. I got something crappy going on in King County. That's it. As we used to say at Channel 2, what does Bill say? Which is how does Bill lead into the story? How does Bill Curtis lead in? Uh-huh. So for me, it's what does Joe say?
What's King County Sheriff. Making an unusual pitch.
No, I have it here. In Cook County, you've
heard one of his own inmates.
You've heard a lot about the push for lower bonds and the release of nonviolent offenders. Now there's a similar push from an unlikely person. Reporter Ben Bradley has the story.
Ben,
well done.
Thanks.
Ben's on set with us now right now. Ben?
Ben?
What do you have?
What do you got for us?
Sheriff Ron Hain in Kane County taking the unusual position of going to bat for one of his inmates, a repeat offender, nonviolent, who has been in the jail for 21 months on drug charges.
All right.
But the sheriff says, no, this guy should not be in here. And he's lobbied the King County State's Attorney and others to reduce his bond, to give him another chance. And they have thus far been unwilling to do it. This guy would have to post $50,000 to get out. Obviously, that's out of reach. So it's just interesting because I think we hear a lot about the push for lower and no bonds in Cook County for nonviolent offenders. And this is a movement that has now spread to some suburbs. And you've got an unlikely ally there in the Kane County State's Attorney who says, look, I'm not for this in all situations. But he said, you know, we've tried to bring in a bunch of programs into the jail, including drug counseling, including, small business education classes. And he said, you know, when we have somebody who has shown the success that this inmate has, the sheriff says, I'm going to go to bat for him and say, hey, we should not be judging people solely by their past. It's an influence. But sometimes we should take into account what they've done with their lives since they got into trouble.
Okay. Now, I do agree, because I know that there are some very successful programs around the country. Mm-hmm. Cook County's got a couple great programs internally in the jail. They're helping especially younger nonviolent offenders, guys slinging marijuana, things like that, that, you know, now the hipsters are going to be slinging marijuana on Michigan Avenue. So, I kind of get the irony of that and wanting to make sure. But these are guys that also were involved in the criminal drug trade, right? So they may have picked up some bad habits or have had some bad influences along the way. And, you know, the violence certainly permeates that world. So the question is, if they have not acted violently, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. But you also got to be very careful in how you train them out of it.
And the sheriff's point is that all of this guy's previous offenses have been motivated by a drug addiction.
Okay.
So he said, so if we're going to treat the drug addiction, and he would say that in the 21 months, this guy's been in the Kane County Jail awaiting trial, which is a story in and of itself, right? That he's waiting 21 months for a trial, almost 2 years.
Got it.
That should be a factor. Okay. Having said all that, there are certainly positions on the other side of it. But
can I ask you this?
Yep. Yeah.
Does anybody have to obey the rules anymore? Does anybody? Does anybody? Honest to God, I mean, I've been watching. I mean, from the very, very tippity top, all the way down the bottom, there are no rules anymore. Rules, whatever.
Well, 21 months for a low-level drug conviction does sound. I mean, it does sound.
But this guy does have a criminal history,
including bank robbery.
That's nonviolent. But
well, bank robbery is not violent. Is it not? Is it?
Well, this particular one was nonviolent. Yes. So, the point of this story is you have the unusual situation where a sheriff is arguing for the release of one of his inmates. In saying, with recidivism rates as high as they are in Illinois, which is incredible to think about, that of all the inmates released from Illinois prisons in 2015, 40% of them ended up back behind bars within 3 years. 40%. So the sheriff's point is, you know, we're not supposed to be just warehousing quote unquote bad people. We are supposed to be trying to change behavior. And I have an example here of someone who I believe their behavior has been corrected, has been changed. So he's going out on a limb here for sure. And he's certainly not as, I think, hug, hug, kiss, kiss, lovey, feely, let's open the gates for everybody as some people who are part of this push. But it's interesting. I just, you know.
You okay, Ro?
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I had a little cough.
Yeah.
Kim Fox. It
sounded like you said Kim Fox.
No, no. I was just coughing.
No, that was a cough.
Yeah. No. Dan Webb! Just coughing something up.
Well, she's in the news today for the expungement, right? She's using Code for America to go through all the records to see the low-level marijuana possession.
How much are they getting paid for it? Mm. How much is her office paying them?
It's a good follow-up question. Ben Bradley, maybe you can look into
that. That was not in my email, Anna.
Ben Bradley has the story, Ben.
Ben, what can you tell us?
Listen, I got to go get a milkshake for the producer here before the 4 o'clock news.
Goodbye. Thank you, Ben. What time is this coming on?
This is coming on tonight at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
WGN.
Ben's got this. Ben has the story. Ben.
Thanks, Bill. Walter.
Goodbye.
Try grass-fed beef.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Ben Bradley.
Bye, Ben.
Yep.
I do read his emails. I don't know why he continually does that.
I do not read his emails.
I know, and he doesn't give you our time.
Kim Gordon has got the news, brought to you by American Weathermakers. Oh, boy. Brett Baer from the Fox News Channel joins us right now. Brett, do you know why it is that we're playing this?
I have a feeling. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling.
You do. You have a feeling.
Yeah.
Brett, is it possible? I know you're the singing anchor man. I understand that about you. Is it possible that you did Rapper's Delight on stage with Rascal Flatts last week?
Ooh. It is. This weekend. It's a long story that I'll make short. Mm-hmm. And that is, I became friends with these guys at the American Century Tournament, the Lake Tahoe Celebrity Tournament out in out there, and I play in the past couple of years. Yep. And they have a celebrity karaoke kind of thing on Wednesday night before the tournament starts. So they play out there in Lake Tahoe, and I did this one time. So they invite me to the concert out here in Virginia, and my wife, Amy, and I go, and we are backstage. It's really cool, and you get to see Rascal Flatts doing all the songs that they have. And one time they come off the stage in between songs, and they're laughing. They're like, "Hey, remember when you did Rapper's Delight?" And I said, "Yeah, that was fun." And then they went back on stage, and suddenly there's all this whispering, and the guy next to me just says, "You're up next." And I said, "What?" And they hand me a microphone, and then suddenly he's introing me from the stage in front of, I don't know how many thousand people.
A lot of people. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And they're like, and the music starts, and they're like, "Here you go." So, I mean,
it was
kind of a surprise.
It sounded a little like this. Okay, I just want to say one thing about Brett right there. Two things about Brett. First of all, I mean, that's good control in a situation like that. And that is, I don't know how many tequilas deep that is, but that is something right there.
Yeah. I'm lucky it wasn't a few more.
Yeah, I know. I know. Brett, as well as I do, has a sweet spot for that, where you're like really in the, if you're dialed in properly, you're good to go in a situation like that. But one too many, it's bad. One too few, it's too hesitant.
It's all about the chemistry.
Yeah, really is all about the chemistry. Chemistry. All right. So we got a couple things we need to discuss here that are, I just can't quite understand. First of all, Brazil, this guy that Bolsonaro down in Brazil is rejecting the aid from the G7, about $20 million that they've raised so far to try to put out the fires, help put out the fires on the Amazon and in the jungle there. And this needs to be known that there are burns every year there. They are earlier and more intense this year than they have been, and there is some global concern about this. So he says he's not going to do it until the French president apologizes to him. What is going on in our world, Brett?
Yeah, it's crazy. He considers that an insult, and that France and the G7 was treating Brazil like a colony, is what he says. And, you know, he's a businessman. He's a populist who was elected. And he says Brazil can handle it. So they're sending firefighter teams into the Amazon. And you're right. They do have fires all the time. It's just that they're up 80% since 2018. And it's obviously a big concern because 20% of the world's oxygen comes from comes from the Amazon.
And this is some of these fires are intentionally set trying to clear land for other types of agriculture, specifically for beef production. So there is some concern that, you know, some people are basically poaching the land there for their own purposes. And the question is, you know, are they, you know, what is this guy doing about it, if anything?
It got deeply personal, though, between Bolsonaro and Macron. You saw that, that he retweeted something that sort of seemed to poke fun at Macron's wife. And,
you know, and comparison to his wife, or contrast to his wife, and it's not a good scenario when world leaders are pulling the third grade stunt.
I know. All right, now in the 24 hours of this, or 30 hours of this news cycle, since the president suggested that Doral would be a nice place for the G7 to hold their meetings next year, there has been a ton a Republican pushback. I probably have seen more Republican pushback on this than almost anything. Where people aren't like,
well, not from Marco Rubio. He's fine with it.
Yeah, well,
Miami.
Yes, in my the Florida senator's okay. But I think there are. I mean, this would have to be done in such a delicate. Literally, Trump Organization would have to eat this thing if they were to get it done right. Right. I mean, there's every potential for an ethical violation, isn't there?
Well, there is. The president tried to, you know, talk his way around that decision by saying that he sent his team out to look at all kinds of different places, and this is what they came back with. I mean, that's fine, but
right, but why do you send them your own place? I mean, there's that.
You know, it's a problem for just perception as far as the ethics of taking in money. Obviously, he spends a lot of time at his properties and Secret Service, and the U.S. government pays a lot for him to be there. The Attorney General just decided that he's going to do a holiday party for families of the Department of Justice, and he chose Trump Hotel here in
Washington,
in D.C., and that is it's getting some play in the Washington Post. So. I mean, it's going to be a constant thing, and if the G7's there, expect that story to be recurrent.
I think Putin gets a nice bungalow. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right, Marianne Williams, I want to ask you this.
She's up to 4% now.
Wow!
In the latest Emerson poll out today.
She's higher. She's pulling higher than like Beto O'Rourke and some of these other people that really seem to look like they had a chance at surging at some point.
People actually had elected positions at some point.
Yeah. No, I mean, she's speaking the language of, you know, I don't know, love and
hippiedom,
crystals and all kinds of things. No, but she connects on the debate stage. I mean, she makes points that those debate audiences have been, you know, clapping for. She's concerned about food safety and Monsanto and all kinds of things that, you know, are not being talked about, and she's getting attention. And the more attention she gets, we'll see if she makes this debate stage. The cut is tomorrow. She has enough donors. She just doesn't have enough polls.
So is it five? Who's got that debate, by the way?
ABC in Houston, okay. September 12th.
And how many have qualified now, Brett?
Ten currently, but if they get one more, then they're going to have two nights of debates. So it'd be six and five or whatever. Six and six if there's 12.
Having done this hosted many debates over your career, Brett Baer, I wonder, do you think that the challengers for Donald Trump are going to be significant enough that there will be a debate so far?
Yeah. You mean a general election debate?
Yeah. Well, no.
Primary.
Primary debate.
I don't think the president's going to. I don't think he'll dial into that, and I don't think that the challengers will get that much traction. I mean, the latest polls for the president's approval among Republicans hover around 90%, 88 to 94. It's tough to make Mark Sanford, Joe Walsh, or if John Kasich got in, get them, you know, anything above 5-6%.
Yeah.
Do you imagine that after this debate, whether it's 10 or 11, two nights or one, that the people who do not qualify, those candidates will shortly be seeing them all drop out?
I assume so. I mean, it is interesting that the ones who are not qualifying are the moderates, in the race. John Delaney, Michael Bennett, Colorado Senator, Steve Bullock, Montana Governor. You saw Hickenlooper already drop out. So, you know, the moderate wing of the Democrats, which would be an alternative to Joe Biden should he implode, they're not going to be there. And so I would assume that they're not going to hang on much more. You run out of money pretty soon.
Yeah, I think moderates are looking at Joe, and they're like, okay, put him in bubble wrap, get him oxygen, keep him hydrated.
Let him know where he is.
Yes, just keep reminding him, you know, where his glasses are. I mean, it's like,
it's Joe Biden and Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I don't know if you saw this.
Drinks or something.
When she was at the University of Buffalo, weekend,
yesterday.
Yeah, yes. And they were putting the they drape that thing over you when they give you the honors. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever mm-hmm. that is, it's sort of like
10 pounds.
Yeah, I don't even know if it is 10 pounds, whatever it was. But they were holding, it looked like just a little light drapery, like, you know, make a shawl maybe. And they were putting it over her like they were lowering, like it was a moon landing. I mean, it was like they were like just
ever so delicately.
Very careful.
Very delicately.
But here, God bless her. I mean, you know, gets up there and she talks about being the notorious RBG. So, I mean, she's right there.
She is something. And she's holding on, man. I mean, four times. And did you see the Jimmy Carter? Speaking of that, see, Jimmy Carter, who I think is 94, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
He just announced today that he is going to be building a house for Habitat for Humanity. Remember, like, was 4 years ago we were on Death Watch with him because he had brain cancer?
Yeah.
Right?
And now he's back there with a Paslode impaler. I mean, you know, just
good for him.
That's good stuff. That is something right there.
That is something.
All right, Brett Baer. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Brad.
All right, we'll see you guys.
All right, bye. All right, there he goes.
He just underwent hip surgery last spring, Jimmy Carter, as well. And there he is.
He's going to be back out there building houses.
He is. Boy, good for him.
Right. Maybe he should run for president.
He's right up there in the same age range as most of the candidates who are leading.
I want to say that between the top three Democratic candidates, I think if you add their ages up together, it's like 216 years. The top three. Then you throw Trump on top of that, right? And now you're getting close to 300 years in age for the four people who are most likely to get elected president in the United States in 2020. You know, I mean,
it's remarkable.
And, you know, we were through a whole thing between Clinton and Bush and Obama of guys in their 40s when they were getting elected.
Right, where you started to see this as seen as a negative. If you were an older person, they would say you're out of touch, you don't have the stamina, the ability to be the president. That was sort of the knock. And then now you see that's not an issue.
Trump has he has amazing stamina for his age. And
his doctor.
And his big guy, right? So
yeah.
It's like,
no,
he's pushing through heavy. But I got to say, he's got what I have when he travels internationally. He's always in a bad mood.
He doesn't
can't enjoy himself because the time change is screwing him up and his stomach's upset.
Doesn't have his bathroom.
No. And he's right. Doesn't have his thing. And the next thing you know, and anybody wants to get in his way. All right. I'll tell you. So, all right. I don't know how I feel about the world. All I know is that Brett can do Rapper's Delight after. I'm going to guess that's four tequilas right there.
He looked good. I saw the video. He's pretty impressive to just be thrown out there, not expect to do that, and perform like that.
Sort of somewhere after the third, sipping the fourth is right the dial in for him. I can attest to that.
Good for him.
All right. Let us now talk about this. We got the stories of matter for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. What's coming up? Kim Gordon at the top of the hour.
Rogue Governor Pritzker trying to even the playing field in the boardroom.
I have to get ahead of myself here, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
On the program tomorrow, we have a gigantic week left. I know everybody's on vacation, you know, and all this other media this week. Not us.
No.
We're working hard, and we are putting together a show for you this week, shows for you this week that are just going to blow your pants off. Oh, socks.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's what you meant
That's
to
what
say.
I meant. Tomorrow, we will play our full interview with John Travolta. He's got a movie out called The Fanatic. You'll hear the entire interview. Jason Benetti will be here to play News or Ruse.
Oh, great.
On Friday, it's an all Knarbel Wagon Friday.
The whole show is
the
a Knarbel Wagon?
The whole show is a Knarbel Wagon.
Huh. Baseball, has that ever been done before?
Never been done. Baseball interrupts us, I think, at 5:45. Not that it interrupts us. It just takes over the radio part. We will stay on the air on the World Wide Web, as we do, on WGNRadio.com and on the app and all the other places you can find us digitally. And we have a house band coming in.
Fun.
For the show, for the majority of the show. A little band called Vertical Horizon that, you know, some people may have heard of.
No big deal.
No big deal. No big deal. You're a god. Yes, you are a god. And it's everything you want. And that's, you know,
it's
I mean,
great Friday.
Yes. See what I did there? Everything you want?
Yeah.
See what I did?
Nice.
All right.
Nicely done.
Anyway, so we've got that going. And then Thursday, it's a big surprise because they didn't write it down for me. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, what we have here is a few minutes before we get to the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Kim Gordon. On the other side, Dick Durbin is going to join us, the United States Senator. He's got some thoughts on the opioid story that that broke yesterday, the opioid decision, and what that actually means for Illinois. Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Senator Dick Durbin is on the Super Celebrity Hotline with us.
Nice.
This is a very ecumenical show today. We had Brett Baer from the Fox News Channel, now Dick Durbin. A little later on, it's going to be our very good friend Bert Odelson telling us why the president should go to jail for what he did, what he wants to do with the G7 next year. But that's a separate issue. All right, Senator, thank you so much for being with us. So many things to discuss here. First of all, let's start with the circumstance, the result now that we think is going to sort of cascade coming from the issue of the court's ruling, this judge really slamming the biopharm industry in terms of opioids. And that's just in one state, but will that now cascade down to other states, including Illinois, do you think?
I think it will. And what's going on in Cleveland, Ohio, is a huge lawsuit, class action lawsuit. It's not just against the pharmaceutical companies manufacturing the product, but they're also against the PBM companies, the ones that distribute the product, asking them, you know, if they were meeting the standard of care when they were releasing hundreds of thousands of these opioid tablets into communities of 10 or 15,000 people. And so I think ultimately, I wouldn't be surprised this calendar year if there isn't a pretty massive settlement of this lawsuit against everybody implicated in this opioid issue.
You just saw Purdue Pharma. It's crossing the wires in the last hour that it seems as if they have revealed some kind of a settlement, if they reached some kind of settlement, about $10 billion to $12 billion for opioid-related lawsuits against them. It continues to, you know, to go, and this seems like when you hear from Oklahoma, they said this $500 million, their estimates were that this may not even get them through a year of what they need in order to help with treatment programs and helping the populations that are addicted and turn it around. I mean, it seems very costly.
Well, I can tell you, I'm calling you from Lake County. I just did a roundtable up at Gateway Foundation in Lake Villa, and I will tell you that we had the Republican state's attorney, the Democratic sheriff. We had people...
Senator?
Foundation, one of the most respected in our state. And this is a big deal, and we do not have the resources to deal with it.
Yeah. Right. And so this would this be similar to the tobacco settlement in the sense that the states would be then getting the money and then it would be earmarked for programs?
Well, that's my hope. It didn't work with the big tobacco lawsuit. We ended up with a settlement that was spent for everything other than public health purposes. We better learn a lesson from it. I hope the judge in this case will direct this money for public health purposes.
But the argument that pharma makes about this, and that some people in the medical community make, is that, yes, there were some, there were side effects. They weren't properly monitored. Obviously, these are highly addictive chemicals that were people were finding themselves, you know, not being able to wean themselves off of because they didn't want to seek help. And then people who got involved in opioids and eventually got involved in heroin because they couldn't get the opioids anymore. And we've got all those rules about, you know, after your second prescription of it, you can't get it anymore and all those kinds of things that were going on. But the patients were also arguing what, and some of the doctors, what replaces that in terms of pain management? And is it fair?
Well, let me tell you, we do need to be sensitive to the fact that people with chronic pain problems are going to need some extraordinarily strong drugs. And we've got to be in a position to take care of those people. But let's back up. 5 years ago, pharma asked the federal government, the Drug Enforcement Administration, for a quota of what they wanted to produce of opioid pills in America 5 years ago. Do you know what it was? 14 billion opioid pills in 1 year. Enough for every adult in America to have a one-month prescription. 1 month. We know now that if you're on opioids for more than 3 days, it's dangerous. 7 days, you're likely to be, 8% of the people likely to be addicted a year from now. So when you get to the bottom line in these lawsuits, they knew, opioid producers knew what the properties of this substance was. They knew it was addictive. They were making a fortune, and now they ought to pay the price.
Speaking of that, I know that you're also interested in this. The FDA is looking into the vaping products. We've had the first, we think, linked death to an infection based on, or a condition based on somebody vaping. And there doesn't seem to be any kind of attention. You know, they go, oh, this is so much better for you than smoking. But is it? Can it even be more deadly? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can tell you that the Food and Drug Administration, in my mind, has been completely derelict in its responsibility to protect our children. We have our kids headed back to school. Ask the hard questions of the principals and teachers at the high school and middle school about e-cigarettes. It's growing by leaps and bounds. It is an addiction, a nicotine addiction that these kids are getting involved in. And they are using these flavors for this vaping tools like the Juul tools. And what are the flavors? They're not grown-up flavors. They're marshmallow and they're candy and they're cookies. It's designed to hook kids. The FDA has the authority and the power right now to stop it. I've called on him to do it over and over again, face-to-face with this Dr. Sharpless of FDA, and he refuses to do it. And I tell you, there's no excuse for it anymore. This is an epidemic. The FDA called it an epidemic, and the FDA can do more to help.
It's scary. We had the Dr. Jim Adams on our show from Northwestern Medicine. He said, we really don't understand why we have so many children, basically, underage, 17, 16, 15-year-olds, admitted to emergency rooms, complaining they can't breathe, their lungs are collapsing, they're having issues of after vaping, and they don't quite understand it. It seems
what
that
the mechanism is yet.
They sort of are trying to understand the connectivity, even isn't known.
So,
well, invitation, Rowan, Anna, to every grandfather and father in your audience, get madder than hell. This is not right. I don't know of a single parent or grandparent who says, great news, my kid just started vaping. It doesn't happen. It's a bad thing, and we should do something about it to protect these kids.
I read something else yesterday on a totally different subject, but that just scared the hell out of me, Senator, and I don't understand how this is happening. You know, there's obviously, gridlock is a term that's been overused for the last 30 years in American politics as it pertains to Washington, right? There's gridlock, there's gridlock, there's gridlock. Then there's what's happening now, where very little is getting done. And the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, has a mandate to have a certain amount of commissioners on its board to even meet, let alone do anything. And we're heading in to the 2020 cycle, arguably the most important, decisive, and maybe will have the greatest impact on the future of America in election, certainly of our lifetimes or maybe ever in the history of the country. I don't think I'm overstating that. And the Federal Elections Commission, which is responsible for making sure that people are obeying the rules of the road for that in terms of fundraising and how they're spending their money and where they're getting their money, isn't even going to be formed potentially to look at this?
Well, the sad reality is the Federal Election Commission is notorious for ignoring the challenges, the issues that come before them. It is designed for gridlock. It is gridlocked, and now we'll be lacking a quorum to even act as we go into this election cycle. We can't change the law because we have a divided Congress between Democrats and Republicans, but we should change it and make certain that the FEC actually makes a decision once in a lifetime for things that are important about the integrity of our elections, not to mention the invasion of foreign powers into our election process.
Does the FEC have a role in that, do you think?
Well, they do in a technical way. Generally, they're enforcing the laws when it comes to campaign disclosures and the like. But when it comes to the actual infiltration of the Russians or Chinese, whoever it might be, you know, our intelligence agencies, thank goodness, are working at it and pretty darn successful, I might add, in 2018 for stopping the Russians. I think they'll be at it again, and I hope that they're just as successful.
Yeah. Senator, thank you very much for your time.
Thank
I really
you,
appreciate
Senator.
It.
Good to be with you. Thanks.
Senator Dick Durbin. That FEC thing scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe that. It's like they're not even getting they don't even have the and this by the way is everybody's fault. It is both on the executive and legislative branch that they're not getting these commissioners up and in position to do this. Because if they don't meet, I mean, everything is like falling apart. And I don't understand why everything gets to fall apart. Why is it falling apart on my watch?
Your watch.
I mean, this can't happen. Isn't anybody going to stand up and go, whoa, 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 whoa. This is not what America, this is not what we learned in school. This is not how it's supposed to work. There have to be rules of engagement here. ROE. No relation.
No.
That, and in terms of how we deal with this, so that there are, so that the elections are fair, listen, there have been arguments about fair elections forever and ever and ever. As long as there have been elections, somebody's been claiming that they've been stolen, right? And in some cases, they have been stolen. But the most simple thing you can do is at least have the guys who are in charge of making sure that everybody's doing the right thing. Campaign disclosures and all the rest of that stuff. It may not be enough, but at least it's something, and we don't have to do that. We're not going to be pretending anymore that it matters. And that, you know, that is not why Alexander Hamilton has a musical about him.
I don't remember that part being mentioned, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing.
I know.
We have to go back to the notion that there are certain rules, there is a constitution, whether we like it or not. Remember, all the people in the three-corner hats were running around in 2010 screaming about the black guy who was the president and about how that was, you know, we have to stop this because he's against the Constitution. He's ripping it up and he's terrible. Right? And now we got a white guy who's president. And I hate to, you know, put it in racial terms, but I know that this is how this drives people nuts. Because it's all anybody can think about is what somebody's racist or what they're doing. That is like, completely ignoring the Constitution, and nobody cares. The people that were so animated with their three-cornered hats in 2010 are like, whatever. It's okay. It's working for me now. I mean, it's crazy. That's not how this goes. It's not America. Don't get me started.
I think you already are.
There's nothing I can do about this now. Speaking of people calling each other black and white,
mm-hmm.
Wait to hear the top 5 of 5 today.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
There's some great audio clips from some really not great things that have happened.
It's like 1952 all over again right here. I don't know how it happened. But we're not in 2019. We're in 1952.
We had a good run.
We did. We had a pretty good run. Could have been better. Maybe it'll get better. Maybe we need to have a moment like this where it reorients us to, you know, kind of what our basic rules are and principles are and values are. Maybe. Truth, justice, American way. You know, that whole idea of all humans are created equal. That kind of concept. I don't know. Maybe, or maybe we just start vaping. I don't know. Maybe when the marijuana becomes legal, we won't care anymore. And then Putin can just take over the whole thing. Now I'm sounding like a crazy guy, right? I've become exactly what I was afraid I was going to become, a lunatic talk show host banging on a table about things that are that seem like completely impossible to have happen. But these things are actually happening, though. All right. Kim Gordon, what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Chicago police issuing a community alert after multiple attacks in the Grand Crossing neighborhood.
The Sox hosts the explosive offense from Minnesota as the Southsiders look to show the Twins some real fireworks. It's Wednesday at 7 on WGN-TV.
All right. Coming up after 4:30, Burton for Certain will be here. Burt Odelson. He'll explain if the president's going to jail if he does the G7 at Doral Country Club or Mar-a-Lago for that matter. He doesn't have enough room at Mar-a-Lago, though.
Is it not big enough?
At Doral, we have a thing called a bungalow. 75 people in a bungalow. Sounds like Jeffrey
Beautiful
Epstein.
Bungalows.
Yeah. I got to tell you. It was the strangest thing I had ever heard him say. When I saw that live yesterday, mm-hmm. I thought, oh, no.
Surreal.
No, he's not doing that.
Well, because he was selling the property so hard as well, going into very specific details about why it's such a unique and beautiful venue.
I mean,
it was almost like he was selling you a timeshare or something.
You hear him say things that, you know, are kind of pointed or mean or aggressive or whatever, and you're like, okay, well, that's him. But when you see him actually going and selling it to the world leaders, that benefits him directly, and then for him to make it up like, I had my people go out and they came back and said that was the best idea. Why? Because they're your people!
Tremendous acreage, beautiful bungalows, lots of privacy. Apparently, it's a nightmare to secure, though, the Secret Service found. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
That's not what they told me.
No, they didn't.
No. Mm-mm.
Doral happens to be within Miami. It's a city. It's a wonderful place. It's a very, very successful area of Florida. It's very importantly only 5 minutes from the airport. The airport's right next door. We have a series of magnificent buildings. We call them bungalows. They each hold from 50 to 70 very luxurious rooms with magnificent views. We have incredible conference rooms, incredible restaurants. It's like such a natural. We wouldn't even have to do the work that they did here, and they've done a beautiful job. They've really done a beautiful job. The ballrooms are among the biggest in Florida and the best. It's brand new. And they want that. My people wanted it. From my standpoint, I'm not going to make any money. In my opinion, I'm not going to make any money. I don't want to make money. I don't care about making money.
And you might think he's just kidding about it, but the Secret Service did inform the Doral Police Department that they had to go check it out as one of the possible venues. So that has happened.
So he knew when he was leaving. That's another way they got him there. He wasn't going to go to the G7. They only got him there because, hey, listen, next year we could do it at Doral. All right, fine. Who comes up with that idea? Who's the kiss ass that came up with that? Oh, Mr. President. Is it that Mick Mulvaney who looks like the bad guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark? Is it that guy? You know, it'd be a really big idea. We could do this next year at Doral. Because Doral's like losing members left and right.
Yeah. Summertime in Florida, maybe not also. That should be looked at.
I don't know if it's in the summer, though. They can move that.
The G7, like June, July, August?
They can move it. They may move it this year to get it out of the way of the election cycle.
Oh.
For the United States. Not that it'll matter, because I think that's already baked in the cake. All right. Well, Bert will tell us coming up if the president's going to jail or if this is okay. Is it okay? Is it okay, Bert? Tell us it's okay. If Bert had to represent the president and got paid a lot of money to do it,
how would
you make it okay? That's the question that we're going to ask him. But first, let's check in now. Kim Gordon's got the WGN News, which is being brought to you by Townstone Financial. Bro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN. Here's our guy, Burton for Certain, Bert Odelson.
All right.
He can answer any question about election law and about election ethics and things like that. The kind of things that would get a guy ticketed if you were running for if somebody wants to run for office, the first person you got to hire is Bert Odelson so that he will keep you from going straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. That's on his business card right there. So
yes,
that is
what it says.
Yes.
Yeah,
so that's really important. Okay. So I'm going to ask a tricky question of you, Bert. Very tricky question.
Ahead.
All right.
Shoot.
Let's say tomorrow you get a phone call from Donald Trump. And he says, Burton, for certain, I heard all about you. I'll pay you $2 million to represent me in the G7 case. How would you make it okay for the president to use his own property to host an international gathering and take all that money from all those other foreign entities, which would be a direct violation of the Emoluments Clause, which has never really ever been tested?
That's a good question. First, I would take the $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Second,
good choice.
I would have him sign a very strict retainer agreement, so maybe I can get another $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd have him divest any interest he has at the Doral to a relative or someone else, so he gets no personal interest through any of his multiple corporations.
That's all it would take is to have Ivanka get control of it?
No, because he's in control of Ivanka, so that wouldn't work. He'd have to divest himself or his wife and give it to a separate corporation that he has no interest in whatsoever.
But his daughter, Ivanka's his daughter, like Ivanka, Don Jr., Eric,
yeah.
Barron,
no.
Any of those people, they have to be totally separate from this too?
No, they don't. Those people don't. If there's a separate corporation set up that he personally cannot get any benefit from, it's all about getting benefit. It all goes back to when the framers of our Constitution sought to prohibit the European custom of gift giving to foreign diplomats, and it actually goes back to the Articles of Confederation, which prohibited this type of action, having a elected president or congressional member receive gifts because of the undue influence. So this is really steeped in the oldest law that we have possible, and that goes back to prior to the Constitution.
All those do-gooders back there didn't see this one coming. They thought King George was bad.
Not quite on the same level, but they did see it coming, but that's just not on the same level. And what's interesting about this case is that it's kind of being litigated right now in the District of Columbia versus Trump, and it's the only case that I know of that has survived a motion to dismiss because of standing in the district court. And this is the lawsuit from 200 members of Congress who've alleged that there's violations of the Foreign Emoluments Act.
On the hotel, right?
On the Trump properties, correct. And that has survived a motion to dismiss and has been appealed to the District of Columbia District Court, Appellate Court. So we're going to have an answer pretty soon about whether what he's doing is legal or not legal.
I want to just be clear here that, remember, during the campaign in 2016, he had that press conference at in Florida. It might have been at Doral, actually, now that I think about it,
yeah.
Where they had all those boxes of papers. And he said this, he'd signed all of them. You know, it looked like in your storeroom when you see all the copier paper and the big boxes.
Yep.
That's what it looked like. He said he signed all of that to sign away any interest that he had in anything. And then he also put out his steaks and his wines and all the other things on display to show the other things that he's selling, just as sort of an infomercial for it. And again, we're not making this up. This really happened. I cannot wait to see the movie when this is all done. Now, the problem is that we then learned that there was nothing but blank papers in those boxes, we never were given any proof. The American people were never given any proof that he'd actually done that. So
obviously, Ro, he hasn't done that, or else he would have said he did that, and then this would not be an issue, just like it wouldn't be an issue in the continuing litigation in the District of Columbia. So
right. They would
obviously
have proved it up.
Blank paper remained blank.
Yes.
And it is an issue. And it is a problem, as we discussed a couple years ago. 2 or 3 years ago. It is a problem.
Have you seen things like this, Bert, on a state or local level? I mean, obviously the Emoluments Clause would not apply, but it certainly seems ethically wrong for a government official to then profit from government business personally. And I know we see it with the tax companies and the people that have businesses on the side, but in terms of something like this, have you seen something like this?
Well, there's current pending indictments about something like this.
Of course there is.
That's true.
Of course there is.
When you stop and you think about it, yeah.
Yeah, think about it for a minute.
Yeah, that kind of is exactly what, yeah. Well, so in other words, if you want to get stuff done in the government, you got to go to a guy who's a lawyer who's going to help you get other stuff done from other stuff in the government.
Right, with the people running the side gigs, tax work.
We're living it. Even though, as I started the conversation, we have something called the Illinois Governmental Ethics Act. Don't laugh. That's what it's called. It's regarding state officials and employees' ethics. It's a really strict law holding public officials to a much higher bar as far as accepting any type of gifts.
Absolutely, Bert. Absolutely. 110%, Bert.
I know. I'm just telling you what it says.
I was only laughing inside. But I just want to imagine this. I want to imagine that Lori Lightfoot, I just want to put this in some sort of context for people, that Lori Lightfoot turns out owns a hotel. And we didn't know about it before. She owns a hotel right downtown the Loop, big, beautiful hotel. And then they're going to do the National Conference of Mayors.
Right.
And they've chosen Chicago. And Lori goes, it'd be perfect.
We do it in my hotel. Perfect example. That is what it is on a federal level, and you couldn't do that in Illinois. If the mayor owned the hotel, neither foreign governments, being other states, or domestic, even people from Chicago couldn't stay there and pay money there because she would benefit. So this case doesn't only involve the Foreign Emoluments Clause, it involves the Domestic Emoluments Clause, because if he's having the G7 here, people from the United States government are going to be staying there, too.
You know what would have been easy, Bert? I hate to come up with the easy solution here, but there are some things that the president could do to make his life a little easier. And one of them would have been choose something he's not related to. Right.
Or let
an independent group of people, like his group of, the people who have to make the decision between the military and everybody else has to secure the location, decide, you know what would be good? I'll tell you what would be good. Requirement place would be good. Or what would be good is something out in California or some deal in Arizona or something, whatever it is.
That's not tweetable. So that wouldn't work. It's got to be something that's good and juicy and tweetable.
Damn, that's not tweetable.
I wonder if just talking about it in such glowing terms on a foreign stage, when so many people are watching, it felt very promotional. Maybe that serves the purpose itself.
Right. Then he pulls out and he goes, he already got his commercial. And he got a billion dollars.
Anna, do you remember when we talked about his daughter's dress line? Mm-hmm. Remember there was a lot of questions there as to whether she could promote her own,
it was Kellyanne Conway.
Kellyanne Conway was promoting the president's daughter's dress line, mm-hmm. and does that run in violation of the Emoluments Clause? Now that was a little bit more of a stretch. This is not a stretch.
No, it's right there. It's right there. It's right on it. That's why they wrote it. Right there.
That's why our forefathers wrote it.
Yeah.
So foreign dignitaries couldn't influence our government. That's exactly why they wrote it. And here we are. Here we are today. But watch the litigation. It's called Blumenthal versus Trump in the District of Columbia. That may be the key to ending all of this, to tell you the truth, because if he is convicted of something like this, then he could be impeached.
Okay.
That's the result.
I'm going to hold my breath on that. Let me ask you another question, because we just had Dick Durbin on a little bit ago.
Oh.
And I asked him about this. You ever heard of him? He's a senator. I read this story yesterday. You'll know all about this. This drives me crazy. That the Federal Elections Commission does not have enough commissioners to actually meet anymore. Because I think three in total have come off the commission and have not been replaced. It's an executive and act of Congress to get that done, right?
Right.
So none of that has occurred. And, Senator Durbin was like, well, the FEC is derelict in what it's doing. Well, it's also up to the legislature as well to get these guys up and in place. And do we want to go into 2020 without a federal elections committee? Commission?
Yeah. I mean, are you kidding me? I think it's everybody's fault. He has to make nominations and the Congress has to approve them. And if we don't have that, no one's there to enforce federal campaign financing laws, ethical violations, et cetera, et cetera. It's like here in Illinois not having a state board of elections.
Oh. Or it's like in Cook County not having a state's attorney. It's just like that! Don't get me started!
I can't comment on that. I think Mr. Webb will be commenting on that.
We'll wait for him.
Bert, I wasn't asking you to jump in on that. I'm just asking you to jump in on whether or not the guy can serve a T-bone steak to that Abe guy from Japan and get away with it and get the money from
him. The other way he can is if it's all free. If he hosts the whole thing and the whole Doral Hotel is all for nothing.
But wouldn't that still be promotional? Because you'd mention it in all the news reports around the world. Wouldn't that still be beneficial to him?
Tougher case. And you have to look to what Bush and Obama and other presidents have done by hosting at their private home or at the ranch. No one's ever batted an eye when a dignitary went out to Bush's ranch. I think
Crawford, Texas. The thing about Crawford, Texas, though, is that I couldn't go make a reservation in Crawford, Texas at the Bush ranch.
No, you wouldn't be allowed.
I wasn't able to do that.
But Anna's right. It does. It's on the fringe of violating the Emoluments Clause, but it's not direct like this is. This is a direct punch to the gut.
It's so obvious. That is so. And he goes, I like my favorite part was when the president goes, in my opinion, I won't make any money on this.
He didn't.
In his opinion. Well, then that's okay. You know, that's like going into court and being accused of murder and go, in my opinion, I did not kill anybody.
Yeah. Do you think Alec Baldwin will have a field day with this one?
I don't think Alec Baldwin's coming back. I think that's.
I keep hearing about the cast.
I think it's not going to be him. All right, Bert, thank you very much. Bert Odelson.
All right, Ro, anytime. Bye, Anna.
Thanks.
Bye, Bert.
Burton for certain. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon. What's happening at the top of the hour for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom?
Roe, 2 days before her primetime speech on the budget, Mayor Lightfoot is addressing the city's pension problem.
Rogan Show with Anna DeVlantis coming up at top 5 of 5 that it's a little crazy-making. I'm not going to lie to you. But there's top 5, the Saturday Night Live makes it in the top 5. And we have some unfortunate other things that people aren't, you know, it's like we're now in a new moment where people can just say anything they want to anybody about anything. And it doesn't matter. There are no consequences to the notion that there's no sense that you shouldn't offend anybody anymore, because if you're not offending somebody, then you're being politically correct. Even if you're wrong in offending them, it is worse to be politically correct than to be wrong when you are offending someone. And that's what's happening.
Multiple times.
Yeah. Just won't end.
Today.
And you'll see that in the top 5. Well, you hear that, actually, in the top 5 of 5, because this is radio. You see it in your mind's eye. That's coming your way. And we have some, fascinating thoughts. I don't want to share them with you yet, because they're too fascinating to be. They may have found Amelia Earhart's skull. I don't know. It's like almost dinner hour, and I don't know how I'm going to bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been a while,
not like that.
You know, since Amelia Earhart was, skull's got some age on it now.
I think they could still figure it out.
But that Ballard guy, remember the Titanic guy? Mm-hmm. The guy who found the Titanic?
Yeah.
He may have found Amelia Earhart's skull, I think. They sent it off.
Wow.
So.
Exciting development.
Yeah. Well.
If they know where it was and put together the story.
I would say, and it's a very generous use of the term exciting.
It is, kind of.
But you went for it anyway.
Went for it.
All right, we got the news coming away from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. I brought my bass in today.
Nice.
Thought I'd show you a little slappy bass.
Mm. Jamming for us, Ro? Sounds great.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were so musically talented.
I know.
I thought you were a DJ in high school, but I didn't realize Such a command of so many instruments.
You guys should form a band between your violin playing and Rose's bass slapping. You guys could produce some hits.
Can you imagine how that would sound? Terrible.
I am the funk master. Many people don't know how funky I actually am. I am the definition of funk. Well, maybe not exactly like that, but you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Enough of that, Ro. I think is what you just...
I think so.
That's the noise you just made.
It is.
I've had enough of that. All right. Let us do this. I got a top 5 at 5 for you. We are in search of Amelia Earhart's skull. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on.
Or just her skull?
Yeah. They think they found her skull.
Mm.
That Ballard guy. The great treasure hunter of the 20th century. Anyway. That's a separate thing. There's so much more in the top 5 of 5 that you have to get to. I just want to tell you about that instead. Here we go.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number 5.
I just got to get through this.
Okay. The whole top 5 at 5 or this particular
just
one?
5.
I saw number 5 and I fastened my seatbelt.
5. I just got to get through 5. And then I think it's kind of downhill from there.
Okay. You can do it.
Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox today is suggesting that she has no regrets over her handling of the Jussie Smollett case. But says that she does stand ready to implement changes after an outside review of the conduct of her and her office.
You know, what I will say is I look forward to being able to have whatever lessons we can learn for how this case was handled.
Oh my God.
And implementing that. What I certainly want is for the people of Cook County to have faith and trust in the criminal justice system and just as more importantly in our state attorney's office.
Too late!
I think the reason there has been so much focus on this particular case is because of the lack of trust it creates about our justice system.
Right! In her first public comment since Dan Webb, the noted, he was a former U.S. attorney.
He was.
Dan Webb.
He's investigated a number of these situations.
Big senior partner at Winston & Strawn. That's a big attorney shop there here in Chicago.
He's an amazing trial lawyer.
Was appointed as a special prosecutor. And Ms. Fox pledged to fully operate...
Cooperate.
Nope. I think operate is the term I really wanted. That was a Freudian slip is what that was.
Kind of was.
Cooperate with the investigation.
The fact that we have had to spend a lot of time discussing this one case when the men and women of this office in this time period have handled more than a dozen first-degree murder cases, have handled more than a dozen criminal sexual assault cases, that the integrity of the office is being judged by one case, I think that that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
We stand
Whose fault ready, is that?
To take whatever lessons are learned from this and do things better to ensure the public's trust of this office's work moving forward.
Oh, my God! And by the way, shouldn't we have handled more than a dozen murder cases in the last 6 months?
One would think. By my count, there have been a few more. But
that's two murder cases a month. That doesn't seem right. There's 500 murders a year here.
What are the lessons learned, too? Like when you say you recuse yourself, but you really didn't recuse yourself. It was just sort of an air quotes recusal that shouldn't be done. When
I get lessons.
Members of the family of the person who's the focus of the investigation call you and text you and try to influence the investigation that you don't involve yourself in that.
I got lessons learned.
I got
a lot of them.
There are a few more. That was just a couple that came to mind.
I don't have time or the literally the blood pressure control to handle this.
Very
right
true.
Now.
Very true.
Okay.
All right.
Number 4.
An Oklahoma City television anchor has tearfully apologized to her colleague for comparing him to an animal during a broadcast. Coco TV morning anchor Alex Housden. This is great irony because there was a very famous animal named Coco, which falls right into this story. Separate issue. Don't get in your own way, Ro. Anyway, they were doing a segment about a gorilla at the Oklahoma City Zoo by comparing the animal to her co-anchor, Jason Hackett, because they look similar.
That's right.
I know what you're thinking. There isn't a chance that Jason Hackett is black. Oh, yes, there is.
Okay, you have to see this. This is Finn. We're about to show. Oh, my goodness. Take a look at him. He's a resident of the Oklahoma City Zoo. And as you can see, Finn was fascinated.
Definitely ready for his close up.
Kind of looks like you. Where is your picture?
He looks like you.
You should see the look on this guy's face when he has nothing to say and his eyes get really big and he's, no, you didn't. You didn't say that.
Look at him. He looks just like you.
Stick to the prompter. Do not deviate.
How does that look at that. Is it a wacky morning show, I'm assuming?
No, it doesn't. It looks like a very standard morning show.
Well, I mean, but she wanted to make it all smiley. Isn't it cute? Look at the gorilla. He's cute. Looks just like you. Dad, maybe related. She should have just dropped that. All right. Well, then.
Oh, gee.
As it turns out, the young anchor here. I'm assuming she's young. Didn't realize at the moment that that was going to go as badly as it did, and she feels real bad.
I'm here this morning because I want to apologize. Not only to my co-anchor, Jason, but to our entire community. I said something yesterday that was inconsiderate, it was inappropriate, and I hurt people. And I want you to know, I understand how much I hurt you out there and how much I hurt you. I love you so much, and you have been one of my best friends for the past year and a half.
What?
And I would never do anything on purpose to hurt you. And I love our community. And I want you all to know, from the bottom of my heart, I apologize for what I said. I know it was wrong, and I am so sorry.
Oh my God.
What a train wreck.
See, the thing is, when she said it, look at the gorilla, it looks just like you. It would have been good if he just called it right there. What? You know, just that moment.
He just looked horrified at the time couldn't say anything.
I would have gone with a big, oh, hell no. That's what I would have gone with. But that didn't... anyway, so she's...
Well, she's owning up to it.
Right. So the prom queen over here is very sorry for what happened. And this never happened at the Theta House when she was the senior secretary. Now wait, listen to this.
Okay.
There's another case. This is a Lowe's corporate video broadcast for store managers nationwide. They do this so they can watch and so they don't have to read, apparently, and they can just watch a video about what items are going to be for sale. So two of the senior product managers get up and they demonstrate stuff for the managers, and it's a closed caption. This is an internal Lowe's only product, right? That comes over on their computers.
Yeah.
But that didn't
make sense.
But apparently, we have another case of a guy not fully understanding that every stereotype isn't 100% accurate. Here you go.
Not only that, the DeWalt name, number one power tool for the pros, right?
Absolutely.
And the thing is compact, it fits anywhere, small hands, right? So those customers that really have the affinity towards Makita, some of our Hispanic pros with smaller hands. This is perfect for them.
Our Hispanic pros with small hands.
Oh, oh no.
What?
Yeah.
How does that
happen? There are no white people with small hands.
Oh. I don't even know that was a stereotype. Like, what?
Right. There's a new stereotype. Well, maybe in the store they go, you know, the guys come in, they go, you know, I need the Makita because I got a small hand. I don't know. First of all, you don't ever admit to that. You don't want to be going down that road. Nice drill. Small hand, small drill. That's what I just learned right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
And you knew the whole corporation was watching. This was on the in-house internal video. All the store managers across the country.
He has similarly had a tearful apology, in which he's had to. He's also said, "Hey, it was so dumb. I don't know what I was thinking. I love my community. I would never hurt you, and I only slightly think you look like a gorilla. Not 100%.
Did we find out if he accepted the apology?
He did. Of course, he did.
Yeah. He says the lesson here is that words matter.
Something yesterday that was inconsiderate, it was inappropriate, and I hurt people.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. There is just such dumbassery. It is just, this is like, it's a chronic problem. We don't have West Nile anymore. We have literally infectious dumbassery going on in the world, and it needs to stop. It's happening in the media community. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, Roe, President Trump taking another shot at the Federal Reserve chair.
Oh, of course. Traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team. It's all weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN-TV.
I think it's unfortunate that we're playing a song by the Gorillaz right now after what we've just all been through.
What did she say? Totally inappropriate? Sorry if we've offended.
This is a number one on the top five, number two on the top five. Five is a TV anchor, morning TV anchor in Oklahoma City who was showing video of a gorilla at the Oklahoma City Zoo and said to her African-American co-anchor, "He looks just like you."
You think her relative is the one who called the cops in the coffee shop on the two guys having a cup of coffee?
In the Starbucks.
And the employee got all freaked out because they were just sitting there talking.
Oh, God. Hello, 911. There's two black men here in the Starbucks, and they're not ordering anything. One of them is asking to use the bathroom. I've moved all of the employees into the cooler. And you can trust me because my sister is a television anchor in Oklahoma City.
Yep, they're related, it turns out, Kevin.
They're
super sleuth skills.
Number three.
Kobe Bryant claims that the Lakers would have won more championships during his tenure if Shaquille O'Neal wasn't lazy. He laid out his ultimate what-if scenario in an interview with Patrick Bedavid at the PHP agency convention in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And, Kobe's got a little bit of an ego, right?
A little edge to him.
Yeah. But I do think that Kobe is probably one of the, I think Kobe was the second best of that generation. Without question. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I mean,
would you say that Kevin Durant is the second best of his generation right now?
Yeah. I think that's fair.
So that's kind of where Kobe is, I think, in that moment. Mm-hmm. So he laid out a hypothetical.
Okay.
He was mean. He was nasty. He was competitive. He was vindictive. I wish he was in the gym. I would have had 12 rings. It's real shit. I mean, listen, like, we used to get into stuff all the time because it was like, he would say, okay, Kobe's not throwing me the ball. And I'm like, well, bruh, if you were in shape, by the time I run down on a fast break and run back and then run down, you're still coming down the first time, bruh. Like, what the hell do you want me to do?
Bruh.
Towards the end of his career and when Kobe retired, he just does not hold back on anything.
No, he doesn't. No. He wasn't known for being the greatest teammate himself. Isn't that part of the story?
Well, he and Shaq always kind of, I don't know, feuded, but like what you just said, that's kind of what the relationship was when they were in L.A.
But Kobe was a guy, Kobe fashioned himself after Jordan and thought, I'm going to tell these guys, because Jordan was in charge, right?
Right.
If somebody wasn't holding up their end of the bargain on the Bulls, they were gone, right? And that's why and Jordan made that decision.
And I thought it worked for Kobe. That sort of angle, that approach worked on the back end of his career.
Yeah. The beginning of his career, it was a little harder. But this was in the middle of his career when Shaq got there. I'll never forget seeing Kobe in his first game here. I think it was 96, his first game, right?
Guarding Jordan.
Yeah. When the first year back for Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
2006, I'm sorry. It was...
96.
Oh, 96. Yeah, that's right, 96. What am I saying? He was... That was an unbelievable game. I thought, man, this kid is really going to be something. Bulls, of course, won that game. No big deal.
No big deal.
Yeah, and I think, and if I'm not mistaken, I think that Dennis Rodman, the new ambassador to North Korea, had three three-point buckets.
The worm.
The worm.
The Potcoin ambassador as well, don't forget.
That's right.
Right, the inventor.
Dual roles. Kim Jong-un ambassador.
By the way, we're going to allow you to pay all of your taxes in Potcoin. All right. Well, yeah. You know what? We're going to have to carry the top five over the bottom now. We're just going to have to do it because we got too much other audio to get to. I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, I did too.
It's just one of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do that on the other side. But first, right now, at 5:30, Kim Gordon's got the WGN News, which is being brought to you by AmericasBath.com.
Yeah. I thought you into my life. Wow. Look in my mind. Yeah. No better place all the time. Hey. How they align. You never must have my.
Oh, this is Ariana Grande's song about Pete Davidson. I see what you're doing here. Because we're still not done with the top five of five. We would have liked to have gotten done with the top five of five. But there was such an immense amount of stupidity displayed. Human stupidity on display in the top five of five. I couldn't help myself. We just had to take some time with it. So we'll continue on here. We at least have worked our way up to
number two.
So the aforementioned Pete Davidson went off on a crowd of college students during a show at the University of Central Florida for having their phones out. Really? Really, Pete Davidson?
Isn't that what everyone does at concerts?
And isn't he like 22 years old?
Right.
What the hell is he all upset about? So, I like the Saturday Night Live star, it says here. I don't think that's accurate. He's a cast member on Saturday Night Live.
His name is well known.
He's only well known because he dated Ariana Grande and then what's her face?
Made out with Kate Beckinsale. Kate Beckinsale.
At a hockey game.
Hockey game. Both well known NHL fans.
Mm hmm. Front, yeah, right.
Just happened to be front row with the cameras on him.
How he ended up with Ariana Grande, who apparently is as much a fruitcake as he is, thought it was a great idea to get like engaged and you know felt totally in love. Tattoos.
They did, right? They had to get him corrected.
Really?
Yeah.
Classic tattoo mistake.
I think he might have even tattooed something he shouldn't have tattooed.
Uh-oh.
What can you turn the word Ariana into?
AA.
AA.
Which is where he should have stayed. Anyway. So, here he is. Not happy with the audience.
Film everything, but not enjoy the show for an hour. Then, like, I don't gotta be here. I can just give them their money back. Because I don't give a f***. So, like, whenever somebody else comes to your town and wants to perform... and is exhausted and flies all the way to the middle of nowhere to do jokes to you, little privileged little don't ruin the show for people who actually want to be here. That's the problem. Don't do that. It's because like half of you did it.
People said there were no signs saying you can't use a cell phone. There was, it doesn't, I mean, is it that odd to use a cell phone? I don't know. Maybe that's taboo. A stand-up comic thing? You're not supposed to?
Well,
I don't think you should at a stand-up, no. But
no, because it's not like I mean, because well, there's a lot of stealing that goes on in stand-up. Oh. But that's
not going to outlaw it.
But
when
and he's a college guy, and he's already tired, and he's upset. He's still worried about now what. So he went from Ariana Grande to Kate Beckinsale, which you know it's a 20-year promotion in age, but. I'd be, that's, you know.
Why are you pointing that out?
Because, I mean, for a guy of his age, he's probably looking at that as a little bit of a come down. Ariana Grande being number one, Kate Beckinsale being number two. Now he's dating his mother. So that's where he is.
He's living with his mother.
I think Beckinsale's an upgrade, but that's just me.
Well, I would make that argument. Yes. But I'm, you know, I'm Ben Affleck's age.
That's not the point.
No, it is.
Just
kind of
stop.
Wait, there's more.
That's what's f***ed up about our dinner. They're like, yeah! It's like, wait, you were the one filming, moron. That's why we're embarrassing. That's why the world is going to end in 25 years. It's going to go f***. Yeah, I meant it that way, idiots. You should f***ing grow up, okay?
Wow. Apparently, good to call your audience.
Tickets were for free for the students.
Oh.
Non-students had to pay $20. So they came in for free. They wanted to use their cell phones. They got, you know, railed for it. Pete's not happy with them.
Is there one more from Pistol Pete here? Here we go.
It says no phones. Says the thing on there. It's just like, you're just supposed to just, like, behave. I have to have my boy patrol you guys? Like, you're 5 years old? That's embarrassing. Should grow up. Where's the next generation? We're going, like, don't you want adults to respect us? Don't you want your parents to, like, be proud of you? You know how embarrassing it is to be our age and walk out and know everybody thinks you're a idiot? Grow the up.
That's when the crowd really started to turn. They're like, wait, this isn't a bit.
Right, exactly.
They're like, they're not going anywhere with this other than just going after us.
If I wanted this, I'd go home and have my parents say this to me.
Right, he's 25. Who is he lecturing to? His exactly. own generation, basically.
I have a guess here.
Okay, what do you think? What are you reading into this?
A little upset.
I have a feeling he is not being renewed at Saturday Night Live.
Because they're starting to announce the cast
for
the upcoming year.
So today, it's already been announced that what's her name?
Leslie Jones
is not returning. Who was a writer, and apparently a really good writer, but as a performer, she can't hit her lines. And as a guy who can't hit his lines, I understand. But she's not particularly great as on the Weekend Update desk. It can be very funny, but in sketches, she is completely lost. And you know, Pete Davidson, he tries at least in the sketch, but they don't give him anything more than like the guy who walks up to the table. Are you guys ready to order? That's his biggest line. And then again on the Weekend Update desk, where he just talks about, you know, dating over his head. I don't understand. But my guess is that he's tired, he's upset, his agent just called him, Bubby Darling, sweetheart, listen, no one called. And they're going to take a pass on this year. Maybe next year you could come back. There are some movies in the works that might be perfect for you. Lauren's already working on them. They are they are in Swahili, though. Do you speak Swahili?
Jeez. So you think he just got that news, so he's in a bad mood?
I think he's in a bad mood. And if that decision wasn't already made, I'll bet you, because it's a big difference year to year. Last year, when he came back, he was engaged to Ariana Grande. This year, he's telling kids at the University of Central Florida to blank themselves.
Go Knights.
Become quite a football powerhouse, haven't they? Well, she maybe didn't know that when he was stepping in there. There might be some big guys in there that could be. Who knows?
Number one.
All right. So the new Dave Chappelle Netflix hour special has dropped.
A lot of buzz on this.
Yeah.
Tons of buzz. Well, the last, was it three, I think, right, for Netflix so far have been amazing. He did something in one of them I have never seen a comedian do ever. In an hour and 20 minutes, he tells a joke that doesn't make any sense right at the top. And there's a punchline. You go, I just don't get that at all. And he kind of loses the audience. And then after an hour and 7 minutes or whatever it is, he comes back and it's the same punchline and it is the funniest thing in the world. After taking you on this rope-a-dope for literally over an hour, he is one of the greats of all times. I will respectfully disagree with him, though. But some of the things he is saying in this particular special, for example, he does directly address accusations and controversy surrounding Michael Jackson, R. Kelly, and Kevin Hart, and all within the first 20 minutes of this special, Sticks and Stones, which is the fifth total right now, he tackles the cancel culture, as he calls it, or celebrity hunting season?
I want to see if you can guess who it is I'm doing an impression of. All right, let me get into character. You got to guess who it is, though. Okay, here it goes. Hey, duh. If you do anything wrong in your life, duh, and I find out about it, I'm going to try to take everything away from you. And I don't care what I find out. It could be today, tomorrow, 15, 20 years from now. If I find out, you're finished. Who's that? That's you. That's what the audience sounds like to me. That's why I don't be coming out doing comedy all the time, because y'all is the worst motherfuckers I've ever tried to entertain in my life.
All right, now that's the way to do it. See, Pete Davidson, you can learn something.
I thought the rule was not to insult your audience.
Yeah, but what he's saying is that we are in that culture of everybody's aggrieved. Everybody's mad about something. And he's right about that.
That is pretty true.
And that's because of Vladimir Putin. He also explains why he did not participate in the R. Kelly documentary.
But I'm going to tell you guys why I wasn't in the documentary. It's a very simple reason. And I cannot stress this point enough. The only reason that I didn't do it was because, and it's very important, I don't know this at all. I don't know anything. I don't know anything that they don't tell me about. I don't hang out with these nothing. So what the do I gotta be in the documentary for?
It's a good point. What do you do?
Why was he even asked just to bring the name to
Dave Chappelle?
Just to bring the name on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did. Now, we don't have any of this for the Michael Jackson stuff, right? Where he does kind of...
defend him a little bit?
Well, he goes after the accuser more than he's defending him. But that's the
that
thing
one in particular.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of backlash for that. But again, but that's the theme of what he's doing here. Sticks and Stones, right?
That's the name.
Yeah, this is the theme. What he's doing is he's basically, the premise of this is that we live in a culture now, and the best comics always reflect this of their time. That we live in a culture now where everybody is ticked about something.
And everybody wants to get somebody.
Right.
Like, gotcha.
Yeah. And social media is just created. Social media is literally a gun with 140 bullets in it at any given time. Right? I mean, that's what it's turned into. The Twitter is just designed to go zing somebody. And you don't go to jail for it. Well, you might go to jail for it, depending on what you say. But it is... we've just become aggressive toward each other. There's no empathy left. And that's what he's really addressing here. So
it's the worst time ever to be a celebrity.
Well, that's a funny thing. Did you see this? Did you see that? I know this is going to drive Kevin nuts when I say this, but Kim Kardashian came out and said that she was wrong about her love of fame.
What?
Yes.
When did she say that?
Just
the weekend?
Just this morning. It was in the news feed about how she was obsessed with wealth and fame. And she's, though still a little obsessed with wealth, the fame piece isn't so great. But she's only wealthy because she became famous.
Right. For being famous.
For being famous. Right. She had really no presentable skill other than her mom put business people around her, were able to build fashion items and lines and a culture around her.
Well, she was the stylist for Paris Hilton at first. So she got on the radar then. And then you're right, she had a sex tape and she had her mom, momager. And
they just built a brand around nothing other than the looks and appearance and the way they act. And not for doing anything, not for being an athlete or a comedian or anything like that.
There was really no skill involved in
it. No, just look good. We're going to build this empire around you guys.
Just as social media was coming of age, they were figuring it all out. Yes. They were ahead of the curve.
Patient zero.
Influencers.
And she did make sacrifices because she had to, you know, God knows how many surgeries she and the sisters went through. Right,
but isn't that for them? I don't know that that's is that a sacrifice?
I think at the end of the day, when you know she's 70 and that butt just don't play no more, that's going to be a problem.
Wait, is that not natural? I'm so serious. I guess I don't pay that much attention.
I mean,
to
she
them.
Can yeah. balance a champagne glass yeah. on it with no problem.
Yeah, that's a those are that's a that does appear to me to be implanted, since it's literally a table. She looks like you're sitting in first class and you've just dropped the tray table in front of you.
Wait. I'm trying to envision that.
So that's, it would be like she's like the seat back and the tray table. Out. And other stuff. I mean, she's, you know, right. All those young ladies all have a very similar look, right? I mean, there's, they, you know, that's what goes on.
I really just always thought it was all natural.
Oh, yeah. Mm. No. Mm.
I kind of thought that that's why they got their fame, is because they had these really unique, beautiful bodies.
I think they did, but then they just kind of kept pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at before and after pictures, they don't look anything like they looked 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago.
Right. So they did that, and then the idea, and they, you know, and they have to shoot that show, which is that's some work. Okay,
why gotta, are you defending
showing
them?
Up some work. I'm just saying that you know, they would make the argument that, you know, they have made sacrifices for their commerce. It's not really even art, because it isn't really art. They got producers who come to them and go, listen, you're going to have a fight with Kaylee about Scott's drinking problem, and Curtis is going to have a problem with Curtis Kardashian is going to have a problem with Kaylee Kardashian, and Candy Kardashian is then going to come in, and Scott Disick's going to be drunk, and go. And then they all talk on a phone. Now, the nice thing is they're not going to get ear cancer, because they all talk on the phone using the speaker feature.
Well, we need to hear what's going on.
Right. And it's interesting, because there also happens to be a camera at the exact same place with the other person on the end of the phone. What were the chances?
Huh.
Okay. Somehow I was not able to get to Amelia Earhart's skull.
Oh.
But we'll do this. We'll just close this.
Darn it.
The top five at five.
Good thing we got to Kim Kardashian's butt.
Kim Gordon, what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox says she'll cooperate with the special prosecutor looking into the way her office handled the Jussie Smollett case.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. I want to remind you of what's coming up tomorrow on the program. It's a lot of really great stuff. The full John Travolta interview is going to air at 5:40 tomorrow. Jason Benetti is going to play News or Ruse.
Great.
And then on Friday, it's an all Knarble Wagon Friday.
Oh,
show starts
beautiful.
With Knarble Wagon rollout, and it continues throughout the afternoon. And we've got live music Friday with a band that does, I think some people might have heard about.
I think so.
Some people may know Vertical Horizon. They are going to be here to play throughout the show for us.
How great. What could go wrong with the all-show Knarble Wagon rolling
I don't
throughout?
Think anything. Now, it's a shortened show for us on the radio side, but it continues on the digital side.
Mm-hmm.
And on the digital side, you know, there are fewer rules.
Somewhere they're speaking, it's already coming in. Oh, and it's rising at the back of your mind. You never could get in unless you were fed in. Now you're here and you don't know why. But
there you go.
Wow.
And he'll be here.
Gonna be fun.
Matt Scannell and Vertical Horizon. Oof, what a thing that is.
Nice.
All right. That's all coming your way tomorrow and on Friday. And we're coming your way right after Kim's News. We continue on here. After Kim's News in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. Yeah. The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And in the top 5 of 5, we played the audio of this incident that happened in Oklahoma City at a TV station, in which the morning anchor, they were showing some video of a gorilla that was looking into a camera. Like there was like a gorilla and a camera guy, you know, doing like shooting video of the gorilla, and the gorilla's playing to the lens of the camera.
Right. It was sort of like new gorilla at the zoo, and look how cute it is. It's kind of moving really close to the camera, just fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm. Then But, see, what had happened was the female anchor is, you know, on the bench, you know, like on the couch,
right,
with her male anchor.
She's white. She's black.
Right. She's white. He's right. He's black. And.
Okay, you have to see this. This is Finn. We're about to show. Oh my goodness! Take a look at him. He's a resident of the Oklahoma City Zoo. And as you can see, Finn was fascinated.
Definitely ready for his close up.
Kind of looks like you. We're gonna take a picture.
Oh!
Kind of looks like you.
Kind of looks like you. And the funny thing. And I say funny not in a funny, but in a sort of the startling thing about right. this when you see this video. And I encourage people to go Google it. The expression on the anchor's face is that moment in which he has his hand to his mouth and he closes his eyes. And you can actually see the thought bubble over his head. Which is, she didn't just say that, did she?
Like, no way.
Did she just say that?
And he kind of looks like a hostage because he's pursing his lips and he's holding his hands really tight and his eyes are up really big and he's saying, what? In his mind. It just, oh my gosh.
She went there. The prom queen went there.
However, when she said on air, kind of looks like you, I'm sure it was just sort of a nervous response because he was freaked out by it. But he said, it kind of does, yeah.
Letting her off the hook.
Letting her off the hook, right.
Right.
That's what it seems like. Sort of understanding that that was like a no-no, really bad, offensive.
I'm now in on this.
But I have to say something.
I can't just let her hang out to dry because this will end her career.
Oh
my God, it's horrifying. Ouch. And then today, this morning, I'm assuming, she went on TV, or the next day she went on TV in the morning show to... Well, make amends.
I'm here this morning because I want to apologize not only to my co-anchor, Jason, but to our entire community. I said something yesterday that was inconsiderate, it was inappropriate, and I hurt people. And I want you to know I understand how much I hurt you out there and how much I hurt you. I love you so much, and you have been one of my best friends for the past year and a half, and I would never do anything on purpose to hurt you. And I love our community, and I want you all to know from the bottom of my heart, I apologize for what I said. Mm-hmm. I know it was wrong, and I am so sorry.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, I can't give you the final rose. I really am. I felt like we were like in love with each other. But I'm going with Jason. I'm going to give him the final rose.
She owned it eventually, but I was just like, ooh, ouch.
Okay.
Super awkward to watch.
Have either of you, guys have done a lot of TV in your careers, ever had to issue an apology on camera?
For something like that. I mean,
if you actually, never mind. Somebody will dig it up. So
retractions for different things that have happened throughout the newscast. When you're an anchor, you read those.
A retraction. Yeah. I don't think I've had to retract. I don't think I've ever had to apologize for anything I've said. That was like when last night, and I couldn't believe the amount of attention that Joe Walsh was getting.
On cable news yesterday,
taking him seriously as a real presidential candidate.
And leaving out so many tweets that would instantly discredit him.
Well, one would think they would be instantly discrediting.
Using the N-word?
But we live in a different world now.
Using the N-word in tweets should be...
Yeah, one would think.
That's okay? But running for president?
His answer, though, was everybody's got racist tweets. I'll bet if you look at anybody's timeline in tweets, you'll find racist tweets. And I was screaming at my television, no, you won't! Because, you know, those of us who grew up in this, right? Speaking to people in large numbers, and you don't know who's listening, right? Have learned the skill of being polite. Because the least amount of politeness will catch a reaction, or used to catch a reaction. Now it doesn't. But... It is like, that's not true. Not everybody's a little bit of a racist, he said. That is not true. There are people, listen, race is real. It is an people identify often with their race. Some people over-identify with their race. And that's true of any race, you can find that. People are just like over the top about their own superiority. But that is not the same thing, right? I mean, I know that I'm a doughy white guy. I get it. I'm familiar with the issue. I know that I am of privilege. And I know that I don't get pulled over at the same rate. Mm-hmm. These are things I know.
Sure.
I mean, that's like playground stuff. Well, they did it too.
Oh.
They were racist. Everybody's a little racist.
But the playground is, that's like, now Washington.
That's what I'm saying. That's the world we live in. As a child, you think when you get older, all the things you're being taught, be nice, be respectable. When you get to be an adult, you're like, okay, everybody's going to act that way. And then now that I'm an adult, I'm like, no, there are still children who are 40 years old. There are still children who are 50 years old. There are still children who are 70 years old.
We have examples of it all every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Sometimes it's worse because, like, they know even worse things to say as adults.
They don't know. Right.
Like,
it's children, you can be like, well, they don't know any better.
Yeah. Well,
but these are grown-ups.
And kids' low blows aren't as low as grown-ups are.
Are you proud of me?
Are you proud of me? No, we're not. You're still a child, young man. You're a 70-year-old child.
Old man. And Joe Walsh should know better, too. Everybody's a racist. No! And this one, I don't even think this woman in Oklahoma City is a racist.
No.
Right? That was just a mistake of just being a dumbass is what that was. Not understanding the cultural context of saying that you're African-American co-anchor looks like the gorilla you're showing in the cute teaser story.
It was inappropriate, and I hurt people.
His response was really good. He gave a response about how it cut deep, and I forgive you, and I get it, and we have to get along and use words of unity and love and not understand how the diversity is important and that we just respect each other. He was really good about it today.
So do you think that's why some people are kind of intrigued by the Joe Walsh thing? Because he does play by Trump's game, and he's not going to back down, and he could go head-to-head with Trump and exchange blows.
And what? Head-to-head? Trump will murder him. I mean, maybe literally, too. I don't know. But I mean, it's...
Maybe because he sort of plays that same game as Trump. So
but
maybe
nobody knows who Joe Walsh is. Joe Walsh is... I mean, in Chicago, Joe Walsh could barely get arrested. Right? He was a one-term congressman. Do you know how hard it is to lose after your first term of being a congressman?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the perception on him. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying maybe that's why there is sort of that little bit of a buzz, you know? Like, for us, we're like, what? No, of course not.
I think they're looking for people to challenge him from within his own party. And yeah. I think that this guy presented himself, and maybe they didn't do all their research on him. I don't know, but they just, you know, he's out there, and he's running for president, and there you go.
Well, he's presenting himself. And he found some people to go along with.
But Hinkenlooper was presenting himself too. He didn't get that much. He didn't get that much kind of airtime.
But that was in the because no one's going to run against Trump, right? Isn't that the point that nobody that Trump? We had Brett Baer on earlier, and Brett Baer is like, no one's going to, you know, there won't be any Republican debate.
They're not going to pull any numbers that would get them on the debate stage,
right? The only guy who really has a shot is John Kasich to get a number. And I think John Kasich's best potential number is 20% right now with Republicans, unless Trump totally steps in it in some weird way. And I'm not even sure what Trump would have to do to step in it. But I also don't happen to believe that Republicans or people who are self-describing as Republicans, that 88% of the people really think that Trump is the best guy for the office. Maybe 50% of Republicans think that. I cannot imagine that 88% think that because they know better. But there are Republicans that actually, you know, do have empathy and have a different basis of understanding how humanity works and the country works and the government works and business works that knows that this guy's a hump. I mean, right?
But they're probably telling themselves,
I don't want the economy to go bad. That's what they're saying.
And he can beat
Sleepy Joe.
His Sleepy Joe.
Or Elizabeth Warren, which scares a lot of business.
It's like an either or.
Yeah.
sadly.
Right, but even within the party. But if you ran, but you know, you wonder if like a John Kasich, who was a very successful governor of Ohio and been a long time congressman, he was also a talk show host. He had his own show on MSNBC for a while. If you know, a guy like that, you know, would have a shot, I think. And he also plays to the middle, and he wouldn't just be, I'm not Trump, I have an idea, which is going to be the only way. If you want to sell something to Republicans now that's not Trump, you have to sell the concept of, you know, maybe we shouldn't be spending the money that we're spending. Maybe we should be thinking a little bit more carefully about our decisions concerning our allies, because we might actually need them. And maybe we don't just make this all about ourselves in a constant, you know, show of our, you know, of our own ego bathing. I mean, there may be some people who Republicans who see that. I haven't met any, but I'm sure they're there.
Well, you don't see anybody stepping forward to run against him who's more of a moderate, who speaks the language of sort of the people who are upset about him acting in the way he does. No one's stepping forward to run against him. And you heard that from Brett Baer, as you just stated. It just feels like you've got these guys who have no chance, who are just jumping into the fray for whatever reason, who won't get the fundraising dollars. Right. They won't ever pull the number. And they're getting a lot of media attention right now.
America doesn't need just another jerk, right? Because the guy's got the jerk, aggressive jerk thing down, bully down. This guy's got bully. He knows he's a bully. Everybody knows he's a bully. He's got it down. You can't bully the bully right there. You need somebody to step up and be the hero against the bully. And Joe Walsh is not exactly a hero, right? I mean, it is unbelievable. I don't know, who's this other guy? The Bill Weld. Now that seems more like kind of cut from hero cloth if he could ever wake up. All right, let's do this. Let's find out from Kim Gordon what's going on in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Governor Pritzker signed a new law today to try and keep kids safe at school.
The Sox host the explosive offense from Minnesota as the Southsiders look to show the Twins some real fireworks. It's Wednesday night at 7 on WGN-TV.
All right. Tomorrow on the program, John Travolta and Jason Benetti.
Nice.
Jason Benetti will play Newsaroos with us, and we'll play you the entire John Travolta interview. Mm-hmm. Played a little bit of it for you last week, and we did it. And the rest of it was embargoed until tomorrow, so we will play that for you. Very interesting.
He is. He
Very
was so interesting.
Yes.
And he didn't come up with pat answers to questions. He really engaged and said some interesting things.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, he knows. He knows that people look at him and think, well, I don't know what's going on there.
He was at the VMAs last night.
I saw that.
Handing out awards.
Yeah. To Adele Dazeem.
Yeah.
She won again. How lucky that he's there when Adele Dazeem wins. All of that is coming your way tomorrow on this very radio program. Kim Gordon's got the WGN News and then White Sox baseball.
Have you been lied to?